Father God, as our kids go out to be taught the word, and as we in here are being taught the word as well, I just ask that you would speak boldly through your word that you've given us. Please equip Gavin, Lord. Speak through him, give him wisdom, and please give us hearts, Lord, that are eager and open to hear what you have to say to us through your word. And I pray the same over our children who are being taught the word and their teachers right now as well. So pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Billy.
Today, we're looking at Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And this year, our overall theme has been, who are we? Earlier in the year, we looked at the topic of what is a Christian as we walk through 1 Peter. And recently, we have been going through the book of Ephesians, looking at who are we as individuals and our identity in Christ. So today, we continue our study in that book of Ephesians, and we'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. So please turn to chapter 4, verses 7 to 16 in the book of Ephesians. And today our overall theme will be Jesus gives spiritual gifts to grow and build up his church. Jesus gives spiritual gifts to build and grow up his church. And we'll be looking at this in two parts. So those are, firstly, spiritual gifts given, verses 7 to 10, and spiritual gifts used, verses 11 to 16. So at home, I have a drawer, and it's, I have more than one drawer, but I have a drawer, which is full of homemade birthday cards and Father's Day cards that the kids have given me over the years. And they are some of the most precious and treasured gifts that I have. And the reason that they are so special is that they were made especially for me and from their very own hands. They had spent the time thinking about what to write, what picture to draw, what colours to use. Each card is absolutely unique and it's made with love. And they aren't something that you can go down to Whitcools and just buy it off the shelf. And I know that the person down the street doesn't have the same card as I have. And it's like that with spiritual gifts that we have been given. Jesus has given us each a spiritual gift that is unique and designed specifically for each of us. So let's look at our first part, spiritual gifts given. Looking at starting at verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So this verse starts with the word "but." So Paul is making a statement comparing it to what has just previously been said in verses 1 to 6. So 3 weeks ago, Bardo taught us on these verses about unity, and he looked at the inclusive and exclusive nature of unity in the body. We are called to keep the unity of the Spirit in verse 3, and in verses 4 to 6 it was saying, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And then Paul says, "But." So Paul is telling us in these verses previously that about unity in these first 6 verses, and now he changes to tell us that within that unity, we also have diversity, where he says that to each one of us. So he is now telling us about something that is individual to us. So what is it that is individual to us? It is the grace that was given according to the measure of Christ. Verse 7. Grace is a free gift that is given, which is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved. And according to this verse, we as believers have been given an unearned and undeserved gift by Christ, which has been measured out to suit us specifically. This gift hasn't cost us anything, we haven't done anything to deserve it, and it has been designed specifically and uniquely for each one of us individually. This verse is talking about your spiritual gift, and your spiritual gift will be different to the other people's spiritual gift. So what are these spiritual gifts? So there's two other key passages in Scripture that we can look at to get an understanding of these gifts. So please turn into Romans 12, 3 to 10. Romans 12, verses 3 to 10. And it says there, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So we get this picture again that there's a measure, it's been designed, it's been a certain amount for each one. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." So we've all got something different to do. "So we being many as one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So we've been given a gift that is going to be, that's given by grace, and it's going to be different to others. "Let us use them." There's a call there for action. We need to use the gift that Christ has given us. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, which could be, which in the Bible may be serving or helps, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation," so that's encouragement. "He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So some quick points to take from these verses. In verse 4, the body, so that's us, that's the church, is made up of many members and they do not have the same function. We are all different, but part of the same body. And we have different gifts and are told to use them in verse 6. So if we look at those spiritual gifts that are mentioned here in these verses, there's prophecy, so that now means the public proclamation of God's word. There's ministry, which is serving or helps. Teaching, there's exhortation, which is encouragement, giving, leading, being merciful. So they are the ones that are listed in Romans. So the other verse is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. So please turn there and we'll have a look at those verses. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. And this is what it says. "There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one." What for? "For the profit of all." We all benefit when we use our spiritual gifts. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So Christ distributes to each one of us as he wills. It is his choice how he distributes the spiritual gifts. So these verses also show that there are different gifts, but that all are from the Lord. And the reason for these gifts are for the profit of all in verse 7. So we all benefit when you use your spiritual gifts. So in this list, Paul has these spiritual gifts. Wisdom, so that's understanding God's word. Knowledge, grasping the meaning of God's word and its truth. Faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, which is recognizing deceptive or wrong doctrine and lying spirits. So speaking in foreign tongues, the interpretation of tongues. So if we look back at these categories in Romans and 1 Corinthians, don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter 4:11, it tells us that these can be broken. They are broken into like two groups. So we've got speaking gifts and serving gifts. So if we look at these under these different groups, speaking gifts are apostleship. So this is looking at from Ephesians. Prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, exhortation, which was encouragement, evangelism, pastoring, and also teaching. The serving gifts were ministering, which was serving and helps, giving, leading, showing mercy, faith, discernment. And then we also have, separate to that, these sign gifts that are listed there that are no longer in use. Healing, miracles, speaking in foreign tongues, interpretation of tongues. So the gifts of healing, miracles, speaking in foreign tongues, and the interpretation of tongues were given during the apostolic age for the benefit of the early church to authenticate the work and the teachings of the apostles. And with the completion of scripture, which we now have, the word of God, these gifts have ceased. But this does not mean that God cannot heal, and it does not mean that God cannot do miracles. He does. He's God. And he has the sovereign right to do anything he wishes to do. But these aren't spiritual gifts that are given to individuals across the church body now. One thing to remember about this is that these are categories of spiritual gifts. Jesus gives them as he chooses, and to each believer, a unique spiritual gift. So rather than it being a hard and fast, you get this particular gift, think of it more like an artist's palette. The gifts are the paint on the palette, and Christ mixes the right amount of different gifts to create a special spiritual gift that is uniquely yours. So the next question we often ask then is, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? So there's a couple of points to think about in regards to this. One, pray. Come to the Lord in prayer and seek his guidance on this. Two, what is a service or ministry that you do in church that the Lord blesses, and when you do it, you get satisfaction and enjoyment from it? Jesus is unlikely to give you a gift of doing something that you don't like doing. Your gift is probably not teaching if you hate standing up in front of people. It is unlikely to be mercy if you struggle to be cheerful. Three, just start serving in the church. The reason for spiritual gifts are to grow and build up the church. And this is really hard to do if we're not doing anything. This allows the Holy Spirit to show you while you are being hands-on doing something in the church. Now, sometimes people say, I am just waiting for the Holy Spirit to show me my spiritual gift, so that they choose then to do nothing while they wait. I was talking to Dan Peterson the other day, and it just came up in conversation that he just mentioned that, and it's a really good point, if you're going to wait, do what a waiter does and serve. So let's come back to our text in Ephesians 4. We have seen from verse 7 that Jesus gives free spiritual gifts to each one of us in a portion that he has chosen and he has designed. And these gifts are free to us. We have not done anything to warrant them. They are unmerited, unearned, and undeserved, and given to us by the grace of Jesus Christ. But they do come at a cost, and that is a cost that Jesus paid. Let's continue looking at verses 8 to 10. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he may fill all things. So here, Paul is actually painting a picture, and the verse 8 there comes from Psalm 68:18, and which is a victory psalm by King David to celebrate God conquering the city of Jerusalem and triumphantly ascending Mount Zion. But in those days, it was common for the triumphant king to come back to his kingdom with the spoils of plunder, and the prisoners from that battle. So Paul paints here a picture of Christ triumphantly going back to heaven after descending to earth and having victory over sin and death and bringing back with him those that have been saved from their sin through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Through his death and resurrection, Christ conquered Satan and triumphed over sin and death and led captivity captive, which means he returned to God those that were prisoners to sin, but now are saved by Christ. Our Saviour descended from the glory of heaven to win the battle against sin and death that we could not win. And he has now triumphantly ascended back to heaven to be seated in the rightful place at the right hand of God. And because of this victory, Christ fills all things within his creation and with his glory, and has the right to bestow gifts on those he chooses, which is his church. Because he has now ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he has provided gifts to all believers for the purpose that the church can grow and be built up or edified. So we know that the first gift that he gave is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2 verse 33, it says, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." And then Christ in his graciousness through the Holy Spirit gave each one of us spiritual gifts. This is the graciousness and goodness of God. So an overview of these first four verses would be, Jesus has graciously given us all spiritual gifts which came at his cost to grow and build up the church. Jesus has graciously given us all spiritual gifts which came at his cost to grow and build up the church. So what does that mean for you and me here at Hukunui? How are each one of us using our spiritual gift in the growing and building up of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Hukunui Bible Church? Are you waiting for God to show you what your spiritual gift is? In that case, start serving in an area that you enjoy. God may show you what it is while you serve. We don't just use our spiritual gifts in this building, though we are blessed here to see many of you using your spiritual gifts here, but often they are used in the unseen moments. It's the times when you encourage someone who is struggling. It's the times when you visit someone who is sick. It's the times when you help someone with their chores because they aren't able to now. It's the times you listen to someone when they need to talk. If it was important to Jesus to give us these gifts as he ascended to heaven, it should show to us that we should be using these gifts that he has given. So let's look at our second part of these verses from verses 11 through to 16. We're looking at spiritual gifts used, verses 11 to 16. So let's look at verses 11 to 12, where it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, to the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So Christ himself gives this first tranche of spiritual gifts, those to be apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers, or maybe pastor teachers or shepherd teachers. So as we can see from our list before, these are all speaking gifts. So here, the apostles here are talking about the apostles of the early church, which included the 13 apostles, which if you're at the quiz night last night, we know included Matthias, who replaced Judas, because that was one of the questions, plus Paul. Their job was to be sent out and lay the foundations of the church, to receive, write down, and declare God's word and to confirm that this was God's word through signs, wonders, and miracles. So we had the apostles there that were the apostles of Christ, those 13, as they were chosen by Christ himself. And then there were the other apostles, such as Barnabas and Timothy and Silas, who were known as the apostles of the churches. Now, the prophets were specifically chosen men in the early church whose role was to work within a certain congregation. They weren't sent out as such like the apostles were, but were to proclaim God's word and teaching to the church. So these offices of apostle and prophet in this sense ceased when the New Testament was completed. But we now have the evangelist and the pastor and teacher, or pastor teacher, which we have today. So today, the evangelist has a gift to be able to go out and preach the good news of salvation through Christ to those who have not heard the gospel. So this is a focus on the unreached. But then we have the focus of the pastor teacher is to those who are part of the church, i.e. to believers. This role, as we mentioned, is also known as pastor teacher or shepherd teacher. So this gift is given to those who shepherd and care for the church and teach the word of God. So just on this at Hukunui Bible Church, we believe that scripture is clear that when the church body comes together, the role of teaching is a specific role given to men by God to teach the scripture to the body of Christ for the purpose to grow and build up the whole church. That is why on Sunday, our Bible teaching is done by men. But we need to be clear on this. The gift of teaching is not gender specific. We have some incredibly gifted women teachers in our church who teach the word of God faithfully to our women and children's ministries and to other women's ministries outside of our church, like BSF. The role is different, but the gift is the same. One role is not more important than the other. Both are important to the growth and the edification of the church. So why did Jesus give these speaking gifts, especially pastor and teacher gifts, to the church? Verse 12 tells us this there, where it says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So the role of the pastor teacher is to shepherd the flock and provide biblical teaching to the saints, which is all of us, to equip them to do the work of serving so that the church may be built up. The interesting thing here is that it isn't the pastor doing all the work serving the church. Serving the body of Christ is to be done by all saints, all the people in the church. The pastor teacher's role is to equip everyone in the church to be able to serve each other. That is why in verse 7 we read that Jesus gives gifts to each one of us. We each have a spiritual gift given to us so that we can serve the church and build it up. Friends, if you aren't serving the church, if you aren't serving your brothers and sisters, you aren't doing what God has called you to do. You have been given a unique gift specifically for you to be used in serving your brothers and sisters in Christ and in this church to build it up. The key here is that you are important to this church. Each and every one of you is important to this church. Your unique and special gifting are needed here at HBC so that it can be the body of believers that God wants it to be. In many workplaces, people often talk about the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the people do 20% of the work. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You better get that right. Now, it's funny because when you get a group of people together, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's sports clubs or networking groups or anything like that, this is often the case. Anywhere where you get a number of people together from different walks of life, the 80-20 rule often comes into play. The 80-20 rule isn't just for groups, though. The 80-20 rule also happens in other areas of our life. like the wardrobe when you get married. When you get married, the expectation is that everything is 50-50, and it's normally the case, except for the wardrobe. 80% of the wardrobe ends up being the ladies, and 20% of it on a good day ends up being for us guys. The longer you are married, the lesser your percentage will become. Now, the thing is, the 80-20 rule should not be a thing in the church. It should be a 100-100 rule, where 100% of the people are doing 100% of the work. Everybody should be doing some form of serving or ministry because that is what we are called to do and why we have been given spiritual gifts. When we serve each other, we build up and edify the body of Christ. Let's continue with verse 13. It says, and continuing on from that, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This verse speaks of believers, which is us, the church, coming to maturity in their faith and knowledge of Christ. Unity in the church is built on sound teaching of the Word of God, which brings believers to having a deeper knowledge of Christ through prayer, obedience, and studying His Word. This brings us to maturity in our faith so that we reflect our Saviour more each day and we become more Christ-like. Why is it important that there are godly pastors and teachers who train and equip the believers to serve each other and build up the church with the end result that the church being, with the result of the church being in unity through sound teaching and a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ, having become mature in their faith and walking in Christ-likeness? Why is that important that we read in verse 13? Because if we get that answer in verse 14, which says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. If we're believers grounded in sound teaching and we read and know the Word of God and know our Saviour personally, then we are unlikely to be deceived by the enemy and pulled away from our Lord and the church He has called us to serve. There cannot be unity in the body of Christ if believers are being deceived and not trusting the Word of God. This ends up being a terrible witness to those outside who are in need of a Saviour. So let's look at our last two verses. It says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friends, we are called to speak the truth in love to each other and completely yield ourselves to the one who is the head and has complete authority over us, which is Jesus Christ, our Saviour. When we yield to the Lord and give Him full control of our lives, then we will want to do what He has called us to do, which is to do our share, verse 16, in the body of Christ. Now, this is full circle on what we have been reading about earlier. We are to use the spiritual gift Jesus has given us and serve each other because we are part of the body of Christ, the church of which Christ is the head. The body works effectively when all parts, big and small, are doing what they're meant to do. If we look at our own physical body, if one part of our body is missing or not working properly, we notice it. Now, a few months ago, I dislocated my left shoulder when I slipped and fell into our pool. I had to immobilize my shoulder for a few days and I couldn't use my arm. And I really noticed that there are a lot of things you can't do when you can't use an arm. I wasn't able to be effective, and the things I did suffered. And this is the same for us in the body of Christ. If part of the body, you or I, aren't using our spiritual gifts, then the body of Christ can't function the way it is meant to or as effective as it should be. Now, one of my daughters, she is a jigsaw legend. She loves doing jigsaws, but nothing is more frustrating for her than if a piece of the puzzle is missing. She can see nearly all the picture, but in her mind, she knows it isn't finished if there is a piece that isn't there. And it doesn't matter if that missing piece is tucked away on a far edge or smack bang in the middle. The piece is still missing and the jigsaw is still incomplete. We are like that jigsaw piece. God has put you in this church for a reason. If you are missing or not doing what you are called to do, then we as the body of Christ are incomplete. We can't be what God intends unless every part does its share. But friends, when we speak the truth in love and understand that Jesus, the head of the body of Christ, has given us each our own spiritual gift, and that we are an important part of this body of believers that we belong to, we should want to do our share of serving so that the church grows and is built up through love for one another. And through that, Christ is honoured and glorified. This is what God calls us to do and to be. So as we summarise these verses, 11 to 16, Jesus gives us spiritual gifts to serve, grow, and build up the church in love and for his glory. Jesus gives us spiritual gifts to serve, grow, and build up the church in love and for his glory. So what can we do as a body of believers at Hukunui Bible Church to apply this to our lives? We can encourage our pastor teachers and as they seek to shepherd and or teach the word of God. We can be willing to serve others in our church. We can desire to get into the word of God and prayer so you know your Saviour deeply and you know his word so you don't fall for lies and deceptions. And we can speak to each other with a heart of love to encourage and build each other up. If we do this, we will grow spiritually as a church. We will build up the body of Christ. And the world will see Christ in us. And this will ultimately be for his honour and his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us. Lord, they were given at a cost. And we thank you for your triumph over sin and death. You paid a price we could not pay ourselves. And we thank you that you generously, graciously give us gifts to use. Lord, we pray that as a body of believers, each one of us, Lord, we thank you for the gifts. We thank you that you have given each gift in a portion that's just right for each one. And Lord, may we have a heart and a desire to use those, one to serve the body, one to help grow the church, one to help build the church up. But more so, we pray we will do it so that you are honoured and you are glorified. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.